It's good to be here this morning as we're here to study those things of divine nature and come to a better understanding of the Word of God. I switched my sermon and I'll go back to just a closer walk with God. But this morning I want to talk about giving thanks. Giving thanks. I want to begin with 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Where Paul was writing to the brethren at Thessalonica. And Paul, we know, went through some hard times. Was put in prison for preaching the truth. He went through so much, but he still would write and would say, rejoice always. And he was exceptionally strong. Rejoice always. If I was put in jail, would I rejoice? I don't know. I ain't never been put in jail. I hope I would rejoice, but I may not. I might be crying. I don't know. But rejoice always, he says. Rejoice always. I looked up this word rejoice, a primary verb. To be cheerful, that is calmly, happy or well off, be glad. This word rejoice, a primary verb, to be cheerful, that is calmly, happy, or well off, be glad. That Strong's gives us that definition. And then Webster says, rejoice, be glad, to be or make glad or happy. And even though Paul was at times put in jail, in prison, he was happy. I can't say that about me. Like I said, I'm just being honest with you. I hope I would be happy. I hope I would be rejoicing. But you don't know unless you've been there. I don't know what it is to preach over in the Philippines. I've never been over there. All the different food and water, but you just don't never know until you've been there. Then look at verse 17. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, I don't think it means that you pray 24 hours a day. You wouldn't have time to do other things. But I just believe it means that we need to have a time to pray. Usually we pray for our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then we usually pray in the morning before we get out of bed and before we go to sleep. In the evening we pray. That's four times. And so he says, pray without ceasing. But look what he says also in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so we are only, 4 days from Thanksgiving holiday, something like that. A time when family can come together and enjoy one another. Also enjoy the good food that different people cook and do a good job. We should give thanks not only during the Thanksgiving holiday, and I know we do, but those out there listening, we need to give thanks every day. Because in God we live, move, and have our being. And without him, we can't do anything. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, this verse gives one specific form of prayer, namely, giving of thanks for everything. Of course, it means things that are good. And we should give thanks to God for them, things that are good. Since all good gifts and perfect gifts come from above, anything that is good, it comes from above, God. Paul is still more specific in 1 Timothy, we'll turn there just in a few minutes, 4 and verse 5, where he shows we should give thanks for our food, since this is the will of God. It's God's will that we give thanks for our food. And if we don't give thanks for our food, we're just not doing the will of God. You ever get in a hurry and then start eating before you give thanks? I guess I'm the only one done that before, I guess. No, I don't think so. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we'll do that. We'll start, oh, I didn't even give thanks for this. Then start eating. Well, give thanks. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's look at this. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the verse is 1. I want to show you some things here. I won't keep you long. But this is what Paul says about, was writing to the preacher Timothy. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. The system of faith, the New Testament. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now watch here. Forbidding to marry. That comes under the priest in the Catholic Church. Some of them don't get married. And they need to have a wife. Fooling them little boys. They need to have a wife. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Abstain from foods. And I'll go ahead and read verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused, if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. See, we can eat any meat that you want to eat. There was a time under the old law that the Jews couldn't eat certain meat. It was considered to be unclean. Now today, we can eat any meat that we want to eat. Peter said, kill and eat. Kill and eat. I love catfish. I think that under the old law, that was something the Jews couldn't eat because it was considered to be unclean. But boy, I love catfish. I really do. Whatever that you like, as far as animal, you can eat it. There's nothing wrong with it. For every creature of God is good, verse 4, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. My neighbor, he used to rabbit hunt. I said, you don't hunt anymore, do you? He said, no, I don't hunt anymore. I said, man, those rabbits that used to bring me, I really love those rabbits. Yeah, I love rabbit meat. I'm talking about the wild ones now. I'm talking about wild rabbits. I just love wild rabbits. And I love squirrel. Somebody might frown at it. I've been placing where they frown, squirrel. That's part of it. They kin to rats and stuff. They kin to them rats. I don't know what it is now, but I love squirrel. I love to make that gravy and have those biscuits, and I love squirrel. And I can eat it. God said I can eat it. Just give thanks. If disciples fail to give thanks for their necessities of life, for food, shelter, and clothing, they are failing to do the will of the Father. If a man has a tiny house, he ought to give thanks for that tiny house. Give thanks for that tiny house. Things that are good, we should give thanks to God for them. We ought to give thanks for our children. There's a lot of things that we give thanks for. The words of truth, I kept the Truth Magazine, Gospel Truth. Here's one I looked at here the other day, The Words of Truth by Todd Morrison. I'm going to read to you what he wrote, and I quote what he said. As he talks about thankful for my children, there are many times when we as parents think about how thankful we are for our children. They are such a blessing from God, not counting the stress and the hardships we might experience because our children go through phases in their lives. They go through different phases. Overall, we are thankful that we were blessed with them. Our children bring so much joy and happiness into our lives. The life of the home is full of wonderful experiences. They teach us a whole lot. Children will teach you a whole lot. What a joy our children are. And they are. Even though the midnight feeding or the 2 o'clock feeding or all night, whatever, staying up with them and rocking them, trying to get them to sleep. And I thought I had to. Now, Denisha, she did real, hope I didn't mean to call your name, but sometimes people don't want me to call their names, but my youngest daughter, we would have to wake her up to feed her. But my oldest daughter, she didn't sleep a whole lot. And I knew, I told Phyllis, let me have her. I think I can get her to sleep. And so I was rocking her to sleep and laid her down and then tipped out of that room. Ah! Had to go back and rock her some more, and she never did go to sleep, a sound sleep. And went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, that's normal. Her not sleeping like that, that's normal, he said. And so, what we would do, we would take shifts. We would take shifts because she didn't sleep, and there's times that Phyllis would keep her during the night, and I'd sleep, and then we'd switch, and then you know how that goes. And then one day I had a hard time at work, and it was my turn. My baby started crying, and I said, Phyllis, would you please go in there and check with her, because I can't, I'm tired. And they did, they worked me over. I probably worked 12, 14 hours that day. But our children are a blessing. No matter what we go through with, they are a blessing. Parents should be thankful for their children. And I know we are. You're out there listening, be thankful for your children. And children should be thankful for parents. They ought to be thankful for their parents. Godly parents makes a lot of sacrifices, with our children. Like I was saying, getting up late at night, and when they're sick, taking them to the doctor, and just we make a lot of sacrifices. We give up so much for our children. Most don't understand until they grow up, and then they start having children themselves. They don't really understand. I didn't understand until got grown and started having children. And I didn't understand Mom when I would get into trouble, and she said, I'm going to give you a whipping, and it's going to hurt me more than it hurt you. I said, I don't know how that's going to happen. But now I know. Because when I would spank them, they didn't spank them that much, but it really hurt. And it hurt the parents more than it hurt the child. Children should be thankful for godly parents and parents who provide for their children. They may not be members of the church, but if those parents are training those children, training them and getting them to do the right thing, there's some things, the golden rule, most people know that, do unto others, you would have them do unto you. And sometimes they're not Christians, but they're providing for them, and they're telling them the right thing to do, then they ought to obey their parents. Ephesians 6. Let's look at Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And look at verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Where Paul was writing to the brethren here at Ephesus, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." When parents are teaching children the right thing, obey your parents. He says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." You know, as a general rule, when children listen to their parents, they will live a longer life. There's been parents to tell their children, don't get involved with drugs, don't get involved with alcohol. And the children would get with some other children that get engaged in that stuff and peer pressure, and go to alcoholing and drinking and doing drugs and get in an automobile crash and kills them, and they could have lived a long life if they had listened to their parents. You tell your then parents to tell their children, you know, if you drive the vehicle, do the speed limit. And then sometimes children hot rod and speed in places that they don't have no business. There's a place for that at Beach Bend. If man gonna drag race, he can go out there and you can do that. But and then sometimes parents would teach those children, they don't listen, get out in some country road and a curve and don't make it. And I know that happened to some people that I know, people I used to work with. And the son got into a curve, couldn't make that curve and hit a tree that killed him. And if you out there and you're going to be late, just call. Don't try to rush back. Just call and let your parents know, I'm going to be a little late. And sometime that happened, they rush back and don't make it. And you're talking about something that hurt. That can really hurt. Look at verse 3, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. When you obey your parents, you live a long life. You can shorten your days by disobeying. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Don't provoke your children to wrath. How can you do that? How can you provoke your children to wrath? I was in the back, living in the neighborhood, not the one I'm in now, but back years ago, there was a man across the street was teaching his son how to mow the lawn. And he was behind him like a military sergeant, yelling at him, and I thought the boy was doing a pretty good job. And he just didn't have a good attitude towards his son, and I think his son missed a spot, and nothing wrong with going back and telling the son to, you know, you missed a spot, let's go back and fix that. But the way his attitude was he was provoking that son to anger, and God don't want us to do that. He wants us to teach our children with love and respect them like they need to respect us. We need to respect them and just do it God's way. Children, be thankful for your parents. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God towards you and towards me. Just give thanks in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Those of us who are Christians, let's be thankful that we have received Jesus Christ as Lord. We just need to be thankful. We shouldn't want to be like the world. We ought to be thankful that we have received Christ as Lord and Savior in our lives. And we ought to be thankful that we're just Christians. I don't want to be going in no bar. I never did go in them clubs. I just never did. That doesn't more other things, but I didn't go into clubs. I just never did. My parents taught me not to do that. Don't be going in those clubs. And I knew of a gentleman that I went to school with. He just was going. He didn't drink or anything like that. And he told me him and his wife was having some problems. And so he decided to go in the club, and he was sitting in there, and somebody got into a fight and got the shooting and hit him in the side, didn't kill him, and messed up his kidneys and stuff. If he had not been in there, I think I went under the shade tree somewhere. I'm not going to no club. My goodness. But anyway, you got to be thinking. And then he finally recovered from that. But that was bad, just sitting in there and got shot. And these guys, these days, they carry some big guns. And I wouldn't be in no club. Colossians chapter 2. Let's look at Colossians 2 and verse 5. I'm just glad that I'm a Christian. I have no desire to go in the club. In Colossians 2 and verse 5, this is what Paul says here. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Said, I'm rejoicing to see your good order. In other words, your orderly condition. How you operate. I want to see how you doing some things. And there's always room for improvement. I don't think he's talking about how many songs you sing and all of that. It's just how we conduct ourselves when we come together. Remember, Paul told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, I'm not going to read that, let all things be done decently and in order. And there's always room for improvement. Whatever the sign says out there, we need to try to obey that order. We agree to do that. Just try to do better and obey that order. If Paul came here at Northside, would he be pleased with our order? Would he rejoice to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith? Steadfastness means firm, fixed, and constant. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. See, we have obeyed the gospel and we have received him. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful for the opportunity to be able to serve the Lord. Are you thankful to be able to, that you serve in the Lord? We ought to be thankful. Christ is the ground for the roots below. You want to be rooted and grounded in truth? Stay with Jesus. Read the Word of God and practice on what it says. Christ is the ground for the roots below and the foundation for the building above, as we know that we are spiritually being built up. We are spiritually built up through the Word. Christ is the one who spiritually builds us up through the Word of God. Also be thankful for one another. We ought to just be thankful for one another. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, let's look at this one. Paul was thankful for these brethren. They were thankful for one another. At one time, I think they kind of got off a little track. Lose a little faith. Didn't have the faith that they should have. But they got back on track. But look what he says here. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Paul prayed for them. He prayed for them. And notice, he don't say anything about the size of a congregation. I just want to emphasize that. But he prayed for them. What, it don't matter if it's a large congregation or a small congregation, he prayed for them. And that's what we should do. We just should pray for one another. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day we heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Christ is the ground, we know, for the roots below. Always remember that. Paul was thankful to God and the brethren there in verse 3. He was thankful for these brethren. There is power, you know, in the gospel. There's power in the gospel. Why? I mean, it changes lives. The word of God changes lives. When the gospel is preached, it will do what God says it will do. Let's be thankful for the written word. Colossians 1 and verse 3, Paul prayed to God. He prayed to God, giving thanks for the brethren in Colossae. He was thankful for those brethren. No matter the size of the congregation, I want to emphasize that. It's no matter the size of the congregation, he was just thankful for them. And one of the essential, as I look at this, Colossians 1 and 3, one of the essential elements of prayer is thanksgiving. Just be thankful. And I was just looking at the statistics. And like I said, it don't matter about the size. I just believe that every child of God, I was thinking about this here the other day, in Bowling Green, Kentucky, if every Christian, mature Christian, would convert one person a year, boy, the kingdom would double, wouldn't it? Just one person a year. I don't care if it's East Side, West End, Third North Side. If I and every person would convert one person, the kingdom, the church, would grow. And I believe, compared with the population of Bowling Green, every congregation in Bowling Green is small. Compared with the population, I did look it up, population of Bowling Green 2021 is 73,529 people. That's a lot of people. And I don't think it's counting the college students. And I thought about that. The Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And when you teach them, you baptize them. And if I could just convert one person, I'd be happy. If I convert one person a year, and if the next man or next woman can convert one person a year, the kingdom would grow. Christians are to be truly thankful to God and express their thankfulness to God in prayer. So we do have, and we need to pray about that. We need to pray about, am I trying my best to convert people? If I could just convert one person every year, and they convert one person, man, we would really grow. Let's look at one more scripture. Let's be thankful. And I'm not saying I'm thankful for what we have, but I'm just saying the Great Commission is to go teach all nations. And sometimes people are sitting in congregations and they're not trying to convert people. In Psalms 103, one more scripture, we're going to bring it to a close. Psalms 103, here's what David, he was thankful. He was just thankful, and he let it be known that he was thankful. The psalmist has seen God's mercy filling his life. He's seen it filling his life. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I looked up the word bless. It means to praise and adore him as the source of all blessings. To praise him and adore him as the source of all blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Do we forget his benefits at times? Let's not do that. Let's not forget his benefits. You know, you get a job, you want to know what's the benefits. Well, those benefits can change. But the benefits that God gives us, you know, if you know, especially those laying up those things in heaven, not going anywhere. And his benefits are going to stay with us. Look at verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. He frees us. Isn't that wonderful? We serve a wonderful Savior. He redeems us. He frees us. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Don't he do it? Yes. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Like the eagles is a comparison drawn from the enduring strength of the mighty bird. We're going to be all right. Just hang in there with the Lord and be thankful always. That's what Paul told the Thessalonians, to be thankful. Now, if you're not a Christian out there, you know how you can be thankful? You can be thankful by becoming a Christian. After hearing the gospel, you need to believe the gospel. Hear the gospel, Romans 10, 17. Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Got to hear it, then you must believe it. Mark 16 and 16, Jesus tells us, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Got to repent of your sins. Luke 13 and verse 3, except you repent, you will perish. Confess Christ before man, Matthew 10, 32. Jesus tells us, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. And then we must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2, 38. After the Jews had crucified Christ, they wanted to know what they must do. Peter told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 people obeyed the gospel that day. That's when the Church of Christ was established. Anything after that is not the Lord's church. It's a counterfeit, and it's going to be rooted up at the judgment day. If you're out there and you're a child of God and you have fallen away, please come back to the faith. While together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.